Greetings, this is Nigeria Anderson, and you're with Urban Buzz Magazine, and I have Prentice P.L. Sweet Thompson on the line with me. This guy is extraordinary, doing major things in the industry, and we need you to just catch up. Prentice, say what's up.
What is good? Happy to be here.
Let's start with some of the music projects, because I remember when I started my online magazine, I had reached out to you at one point. You were doing tutorials about producing, and I thought that was excellent. Mm-hmm. And I was like, hey, can I put that on my site? And you was like, yes. And, you know, people was reaching out to me, and I was like, no, talk to him. Let's start with the music, and from that point, even educating people about producing. Mm-hmm. Give us a little background.
I started out my initial, I guess, foray into the music business was I played organ in my mom's church. That's how I started.
Okay.
And so from that point, I decided, you know, I saw a DJ, and I decided I wanted to be a DJ. Then I became a DJ. Then I started bringing my keyboard where I was spinning, and I would play songs over top of the record.
Wow.
And so I would play different songs or popular songs and put breakbeats under them, kind of play it live. And I started to say, well, how come I can't, like make the music?
Right.
So then that came, then I just kind of ditched DJing completely. And I said, you know, I want to learn to be a producer. I was 17, and I befriended a guy in my building who I didn't know was famous,
mm-hmm.
by the name of Leroy Burgess.
Mm-hmm.
And Leroy Burgess kind of took me under his wing and put me on first record as a musician. He taught me arranging, production, writing charts, like everything, super nuts. He just kind of just took a liking to me. He's still like one of my partners to this day and great influence, but that kind of started my way. Then I started making records. So I went to doing records for Foxy Brown and Ani Mosey and the OJs and Casey and JoJo, a lot of artists.
Right.
And that kind of led me into the industry pretty much.
Okay. And so recently I heard a song called Everything Costs, and, you know, my old hip hop flame inside me just lit up. talk about that and the artist behind that and your role.
Well, his name is Everything Costs. Ironically, we've been friends for like, maybe almost 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a guy I kind of took under my wing, and when he was kind of really raw around the edges, and I taught him how to make records. And he went on to produce Puffy, Soleil, Maino. I mean, the list goes on. Like, mm-hmm. he got more plaques than I do.
That's but okay.
So it kind of came full circle when we were to move back to New York, and we just kind of connected again,
mm-hmm.
and decided we wanted to make some records together. So we put out a bunch of mixtapes, things, Everything Costs. Look at the Free Lunch series, and he has an album out called The Harvest, which is all on our label called Godspeed Entertainment.
Okay. How long have you had Godspeed Entertainment?
We've had Godspeed for 3 years. That's where I do my hip-hop thing, and then I do my house thing on another label that I started called Burgess Pose, which I do with Leroy Burgess, and we just did a bunch of records with Louis Vega that's coming out in September.
Yeah.
So I'm busy on that end. Yeah.
Man, yeah, pretty busy. Hip hop and house music, the best two genres, and gospel.
Yeah.
That's on the market today.
Yeah.
Now, besides producing, writing, and putting other people on and spreading your wings, and kudos for taking Everything Costs and doing the same thing that Leroy did for you. I mean, it is so important for us to keep doing that. And just opening up another door, it is just something we must do as a community in entertainment. I just had to interject that. We must do that.
It's important.
Yeah. So from doing music, DJing, producing, my goodness, now you're into film. So are you scoring the film as well? I heard you're directing now. So let's talk about this new project you have called I See You.
Well, ironically, it kind of came about through a couple of projects before where the actual producer of this project was doing a film and he needed someone to score the film. Mm. And he's looking at a couple of guys to score it. And I was like, well, I'll score it. And he's He's like, really? I was like, no, listen to it. I watched it, and it really came easy to me. But I ended up scored his film in a day.
What?
I scored his complete film in a day.
Wow.
The talk.
Wow.
So he was blown away.
Yeah.
It really came naturally to me. It wasn't really hard for me because I've been a musician my whole life. I guess I kind of went off my sensories and my ability to get around the studio. So I did that, and then I did a couple of music videos for Everything Costs.
Mm-hmm.
And so after that, I had a very bad experience on a project where I lost a lot of money and I lost friends, a person I thought was my friend.
Mm-hmm.
And out of that, I said to myself, well, I can't lose. You only learn from your losses.
Right.
You just don't lose. So inside of that, I realized that I could do it. I could do it on my own. I didn't really need the help that I thought I needed. So I just basically saved my money. I was listening to a podcast, and the guy said, you should just write what you can afford to shoot.
Wow.
And I thought about it, and I said, that's what I'm going to do. That's how it happened. I saved my money. I wrote what I could afford to shoot, and I shot it.
Wow. Wow. I mean, first of all, kudos for not letting the loss keep you down. You kept moving forward. Well, I saw the trailer, and I'm like, that's screen ready. I'm ready to see the whole thing. Not sure when the screening is, but I'm sure my name might be
on it. September 7th. Yeah, September 7th. It's going to be premiering at the Newark International Film Festival, September 7th, out in Newark. And I'll leave you all the information on where people can go check it out.
Yeah. Now, how was the directing debut? How did you feel being a director?
At first, I was a little uneasy because, you know, it's kind of a new lane.
Right.
But I kind of been a movie buff my entire life. You know, I grew up in Harlem, and I went to the Roosevelt Theater as a kid every Saturday, and I still go to the movies every Friday, period. So I've been a movie buff, and I've kind of understood it, but me being around so many people that did films, and I would kind of be on set with them and watch them do it, I kind of took it and ingested it as, like, just producing vocals.
Right.
Making records. So you're just really directing people, and the music is a conveyor of thought and emotion.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're acting, you're conveying a thought and an emotion, but then you're doing it more in the visual sense. So once I got the lingo, I kind of understood it more, and I knew how to press those buttons because I kind of went back to producing vocals with so many artists that I've loved how to do that. So it was just a different language.
Right.
And I just said, what can go wrong except it don't come out good? And so I just made sure that I surrounded myself with some good, really good talent. After I wrote it, I submitted it to a producer, and just as a friend, and decided he wanted to produce the film. And we just did casting calls, and I had about 400 people come down for these five roles, and I selected a great cast and a great crew. I just really took my time bringing the right people into the mix based on my prior experience, and I want to make sure that I want to do what I want to do, and I wanted to be able to control the temperament of my set. I just bought a ton of equipment. I just took my time for about a year, and I bought a lot of equipment.
Mm-hmm.
I invested in myself, and then I brought in the right people.
Right. Let's talk about investing in yourself, because that is a real key factor, believing in yourself, trusting yourself to do it. Like you said, what could go wrong, but that it might not have been good, but it is good. So let's talk about overcoming that kind of fear of failure.
Fear is just like it ain't real. And when you realize that, like, we all have moments of doubt and moments of fear, and you have these moments of insecurity, and you kind of go through that, but you got to go within yourself and say, why am I scared?
Mm-hmm.
What's making me afraid? Is it the unknown? Is it that I'm not sure? Is it that I don't believe in myself? And so when I would get those days, you know, I go into the mirror and I say, yo, you the bomb, man. Like, I don't care what nobody says. You the dude. Like, I don't care. And I look at myself and I convince myself to the hill, even if I don't feel like that. And I'm just going to put my gear on and be fly today.
Right.
I'm going to walk the street like I own it until it gets into my bones. You know, you got to do that to yourself. So it's something you got to find within yourself. I strongly believe in my God-given abilities that God gave me, that it's inside of me and I'm supposed to share it with the world. Just because something is uncomfortable, that's the reason to do it.
Right. Oh, that's
because
good.
Because you can't grow It's just like lifting weights.
Mm-hmm.
You can't grow until it's uncomfortable. Growth doesn't happen until you get to that uncomfortable point when you're lifting where it's hard. Those last three reps you get are the ones that work. The first 10 mean nothing.
Right, right.
So it's understanding that it comes with discomfort. So you got to get used to being uncomfortable. So I said to myself, well, I'm just going to be uncomfortable.
Right.
And then I did my research and I picked people's brains and people that did films and I just started making smart selections and dumb selections and more smart selections. And now I have more video gear than I have music equipment.
Right.
And I just took my time and then I learned my craft. Keep a camera with me.
Right.
You know, I listen to podcasts. I ingest myself with the information I need to be able to propel myself forward and then on top of that, you gotta have a team. You gotta have people around you that will tell you no, will tell you that it's tough, will tell you that it's whack, will tell you the truth, it's not gonna sugarcoat it, and gonna propel you forward. And that is my definition of overcoming fear and addressing yourself. But at the end of the day, you got to believe. When no one else believes, you got to believe. When your wife, the kid, your grandma, your mama, your best friend, they not going to see what you see.
Right. That's the truth.
You can't expect people to see what you see.
Right.
You see it, you make it happen. It's right. Like you make it happen. It's like every day, it's like, hey, I look at it, I woke up, I got air, I got breath, I'm breathing, I'm healthy, I got something to do today.
That's right. That's good. That's good stuff. You know, I see a motivational speaker coming up, but let's talk about, no, for real, I'm sitting here like, oh, yeah, I start looking in the mirror and really doing this thing. No, for real, it's the truth. You know, I get up and I'm just like, I understand, you know, we're entrepreneurs, okay, so we can talk when you own your own, okay, we're part of the own our own crew, right, and no one knows the depth. Like you said, no one sees it like you see it. And so when people don't believe you or they doubting or where are you getting the money from? Where are you doing this? You know, then you kind of like, yeah, how am I going to do that? But let's clear the air. We're true believers. So then it does go to that place where you're going to believe what you believe. So then you just have to really reinforce your belief in what God gave you to do. But you said something that was so poignant. When you have the vision, take a year, stop buying Gucci and all the fancy things, put that money into an account that earns interest, because I'm telling on myself on how I did it, and then reinvest in yourself. But let's talk about that. Give them that tool that they can learn even more about, you know, buying the gear, looking at YouTube, listening to podcasts, and doing the research.
Well, the first thing is, when I have a goal, I start working backwards. And what I mean by working backwards is that, like, this time last year, I was in Central Park writing the film.
Okay.
I said to myself, after that bad experience, which ended in May and June. So after I got over that, after I got over being down and being mad and pissed off and wanting to hurt people and being bad at myself and all I got through, all my emotions, I walked away with the most valuable lesson I walked away with was, you can do this. Like, you can do this. Like, you may have lost money, but you didn't lose. You learned that you have the ability to do this. So I said, well, this is what I want to do. I want to write the script, and this time next year, I'm going to be in a film festival.
Nice.
So what is it going to take for me to do that? Well, I got to have a strong script. First thing I got to have, and the second thing I got to have is the know-how, how to use what I need to do. So I've been buying equipment slowly for, like, prior to that, maybe like 2-3 years. But I knew moving forward, I knew I needed specific things. I put those specific things from what and when I needed them.
Right.
And put away money, and then what was the budget going to be for the film?
Right.
And how much I needed to have for this person, how much I needed to have for that person, how much I needed to have for location. And once I did that, then I put my money away. I started putting my money away, so when that time came, because I knew I was going to be able to shoot in the winter, I had 6 months to put it together. So that's what I did. So I saved my behind off for 6 months. For 6 months, stacked, what gear, stacked, sold stuff, took that, invested in this, did this, location stopped. I did everything in my power. When day one came for shooting, after I had got the cast and everything, I was ready. Now, inside of that, being an entrepreneur, nothing goes according to plan.
You ain't never lied.
Nothing goes according to plan. So, by the time I finished shooting, I was out of bread, and I was like, okay, I still got to edit.
Right.
I still got to pay an editor. I still got to pay someone to score this. I still got to do all these things. And so, I had all the footage, and I said, you know this film more than anybody. Why don't you just edit it? I didn't tell anybody on my team. I said, I want to edit the first 3 minutes of the film and see what they say.
Right.
I'm not going to say I did
you
it.
You did it, right.
Say, and everyone came back and was like, who did this? Maybe I'm better than I think I am.
Mm-hmm.
I can edit too. So I said, well, I was going to pay the editor $1,000. I could take that money and throw that towards the colorist because now I got an extra $1,000. Okay, now instead of me scoring the film myself, I said, how about I just get someone I know that will come back with a banging score. How about I get my mentor to score the film for me?
How important
who I know
it is.
Loves me, who I know loves me
mm-hmm.
dearly, and will give me a discount. Mm-hmm. He ain't going to do it for free.
Right, right.
But he will give me a discount. I save more money. I just plotted and planned, you know, and all these little extra expenses that come up when doing films, you have no idea. So I ended up directing, editing, everything. So everything you see online, that's all edited by me. Everything.
Wow. Excellent job.
Thank you.
Excellent job.
Thank you.
Yeah. How important it is to just have a mentor and someone, like you said, who loves you, trusts you, and will do it. And I like how you said it, not for free, but for a discount. So we have to remember that we're not abusing the people we love who has helped us along the way.
Yeah, it's very important because it's that connection that you have with your gift that only a person that understands your gift be able to feed it back to you. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So even if it's business, like I know plenty of people who just are gifted in creative ways in the business sense. They're very creative with business. And they have mentors. We all should have someone that we can bounce the ball off the wall with.
True story.
And so with me, it was very, very important. Top of that, I wanted him involved with it. I knew that he could bring something that I didn't have.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I could have easily sat and scored the film myself, but it would have been me. And I don't think it would have been an honest interpretation for the film.
Mm.
Now, when I sat in the room with him, and he started playing me what he had, and then my musical ears kick on. I'm like, oh, how about we go here? How about we do a major chord here? How about we do minor here? How about we use this instrument? How about we use an oboe? How about we use a harmonica?
Mm-hmm.
So now my musical ears, and he can appreciate that I understand his language.
Right.
I can say, we're going to go minor for this person. We're going to go major for this person. So let's invert the chord and use this instrument. What you think?
Mm-hmm.
That makes his job easier because now I can give him solid direction. So it went a lot faster than someone saying, well, I don't really like that because it seems a little dark.
Right.
What does that mean? I don't know, but if you could lighten it up, it's what? I don't know, but it's lighter. You know,
right.
No explanation. You know, but you know, it's a spark.
Right.
Of what? What do you need? I don't know, but it should be sparky. And you run into directors like that who can't give you musical direction. So I think because I have a musical language, I can express myself in a musical sense. It makes it easy for composers to work with me because I understand that language. So getting back, so I know I'm kind of more filtered.
No, it's okay.
But I understand that having a mentor, like even now, I'm looking for a film mentor.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm actively looking for someone that could be my mentor in film.
Right.
They could be younger than me. I don't care. It does not make a difference. I just want to be able to have someone I could bounce the ball off with.
Exactly. And that's important. And what I like that you said, that you were able to pass that task over. We have all these great gifts, talents, and abilities to do it all. It is necessary to share it so that we can get another sound from whatever it is we're doing, so that it doesn't seem so absorbed and everything is us and we're pouring everything into it. It's mine, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine. And then after a while, it's kind of like, he did that before, and that's, you know, and yeah, it's good to have a trademark, but then it's better to just have a little variety, trusting someone to add their flavor into it. And that's why I love about live music bands and the jam sessions, because you never know what's going to come out of that when everybody just comes together and throw their ideas in.
That's true. That's true. That's very true.
Was the film filmed in New York?
Well, the film was filmed in New York. It was filmed, Long Island and New Jersey and Manhattan, three different locations. Mm-hmm. The film is basically about an old racist white guy who... I don't want to give it completely away. He's an old racist white girl who kind of meets his past and his and also reality and finds out the truth of his true nature and his reality of his family. It's a lot more diverse than you think.
Right.
That's the way to put it.
Okay. So you also have a studio that's in Manhattan as well, where people can come and do different productions. Can you talk about that and tell us the name of that and where that is? Because we're rolling with you, Prentice. We're rolling with you, man, because you got it going
you,
on.
Roll.
Yeah, we're rolling. I'm rolling.
I have a podcast studio called Metro Podcast Studios, located on 25th and Broadway, 1116 Broadway, right next to the 4040 Club.
Okay.
And the idea behind it, the podcasting is such a popular medium, and everyone kind of has a podcast studio. And what I was finding that, like, friends and colleagues, they just couldn't find a place they could record their podcast in a professional environment.
Right.
So I got with a couple of my partners, and I said, well, listen, how about we just create a podcast studio, which kind of looks like a radio studio, pretty much a radio broadcast studio, but you record your podcast there, so we have top-of-the-line equipment there. You can stream live, Facebook, YouTube, Periscope, whatever platform. You can stream multiple platforms. We have editing services. We do editing. We have engineers, you know, across the globe. So we have a pretty much a 48-hour turnaround. It's been our third month in business. And, and surprisingly, you know, thank God that we are moving in a really great location, in a great direction. This location is everything. It's a beautiful place and 24-hour access, and we open 12 hours a day, and people come in from all walks of life, from your millionaires to your newspapers, to magazines, to, you know, all types of people will come in and use the studio, and it's really just about, you know, selling the experience, and that's what I tell my team all the time. It's like, you can have the greatest equipment, but you have to sell the experience. The experience of being in the room is the same way I felt about when producing records, you know, people that ask me to send me tracks. I said, no, it's just like being in the room.
Right.
You got to be in the room with me.
Right.
You know, that's what I sell. I sell being in the room. So we have to sell people being in the room. So the vibe is everything. You can have the best equipment in the world and have those horrible vibes and no one will come see you. You can have the crappiest gear and have the best vibe and there'll be a line around the door.
Right.
So it's a podcast studio. It's primarily both for people that want to do podcasts or voiceover work, or people that want to do audiobooks. And that's pretty much been our clientele so far.
What's the name and address again?
The address is 1115 Broadway. It's called Metro Podcast Studio. The website is metropodcaststudio.com. And go on there, book online. We have six engineers. Come on down.
Tell us again when the movie's coming out.
Well, the movie's going to premiere at the Newark International Film Festival and screening on September 7th at 12 p.m. at the Cineplex Theater in Newark, New Jersey. The film website, which is icushortfilm.com, and you can find all the information there as well.
Wow, man, I'm so proud of you and everything that you're doing and accomplishing, all the great work, the encouragement, the power to survive in this climate. And talk to us a little bit, when I said climate, talk to us a little bit about the climate of entertainment. With the success of the film and the new podcast location, what can you tell us what's going on out there? Is it growing? Are people doing a lot of great things? Or it's kind of iffy? What's going on in entertainment?
Oh, I found that because of the nature of how people ingest information. Mm-hmm. It's changed how people move and how people see things.
Okay.
It changes how businesses do business. For instance, I had a friend of mine that worked at LRG as a marketing guy, mm-hmm. and his job was to be able to go out and get, you know, artist relations and get ads and stuff like mm-hmm. that nature. However, now that with Instagram, if you have mm-hmm. over 2 million followers, that same clothing company will now pay that person $50,000 a month to post an ad or wear their clothes from 3 times out of the month.
Wow.
So marketing has changed. So if that's changed, when's the last time someone bought a CD or an album? Like, right. I still buy them because I like to collect
right.
vinyl, but
right.
still can't waste some time. I got to download.
Right.
So you have your streaming services. So now things are more accessible, extremely accessible. What I tell the people all the time is that it goes back to the old adage, you got to sell the experience.
Okay.
So the experience is what people get people in the seat. And with people in the seat, those are your real people. Now, inside of that, what I tell young people when they're coming along and they don't really understand the game and what to do, I tell them, I say, well, what is your ultimate goal? You say, I want to be a music producer.
Right.
Now, inside of being a music producer, there are many skills that you can do for your hustle. You can be an engineer. You can be a musician. You can be a tech guy. You can go on tour like I did. I went on tour.
Right.
You know, you have all these skills. You can be a coach. You can teach people how to play drums. You can do all these things are lined up with your skill set mm-hmm. that you're developing. You're developing your skill set. All you're doing is sharpening your tools.
Right.
And all you're doing is building income while you're on your way to your dream. So some people think that, okay, so this is my dream, so how do I get there? I was like, well, you're not going to get there. What you're going to have to do is work towards it, but while you're working towards it, you have to find out these little skills and talents that you have that you can use to be an entrepreneur, to bring in different streams of income to get you to your goal. Now, what happens if you don't get to your goal? You know right. what happens? You end up with a whole lot of skills.
Right.
So I've owned a lot of companies. I've run a lot of things, and it's always on my way to my dinner. I did marketing for Serato and PLA and Ward, all these big music companies, because I had a relationship in hip-hop. So I started a company. The company got me to all these places where I can represent musical brands, musical instrument companies, because I understand the nature of the client.
Right.
But I wouldn't have known that mm-hmm. if I wasn't in the studio. I wouldn't have known that. If I wasn't using the equipment, I wouldn't have known that if I didn't build these relationships. So I was able to go into Puffy Studio and say, hey, listen, y'all want to use these monitors? I'll go on the Wi-Fi Studio. Hey, you want to check out this software?
Mm-hmm.
Because I had a relationship.
Right.
So those companies saw me as an asset. You got to look at the game different. You got to look at yourself as a brand. Then you have to learn to build those skills to bring in your hustle money. That's going to get you to the goal.
Right. What do you have to say to artists that think that they can become a viral sensation in 24 hours?
I say that that's an anomaly.
Right.
And your talent will get you there, but your character will keep you in it. Will keep you there.
Right.
And those who stand the test of time have a talent. And inside of that talent, if you're in this industry, you have to understand that the song is the king. And the queen is the melody. You got to learn the right song.
Right.
Songs last the test of time. Songs mark time. You can remember a moment you heard a song.
That's right.
You can remember a moment that you can find a song for every emotion. You have a bad day.
Right.
I guess you find a song for it.
That's true.
How come that can't be your song? How come? And at the same time, like, you have to hone your craft. People just want to add water, add sugar, and be like, ooh, I got Kool-Aid. And some people are like that.
Right, right.
And that is an anomaly. You want staying power. You want to be in this industry. First of all, you can't be in it for money.
Right.
That's the first thing.
Right.
You have to be in it because you love it.
Right.
That you love it to do it for nothing. No money got to give you a dime for it. You would invest everything you have to be able to do it. That's when you should be in the music business.
Amen. And that is the truth. And we know, eventually, your gift will make room for you, but you got to start
exactly.
with great intentions and not greed. Ooh,
exactly.
That was all right. So let's get your social media, your website, because I know people want to find where you're at and asked you more questions than I did, but let's start with that.
Well, everything is PLC. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, everything's PLC. P as in Paul, I live in Larry, that's not my name, but sweet as in sugar, that's how I explain it. So PLC, that's for everything. All social platforms make it real easy. For the film, it's ICUShortFilm.com. For the Metro Podcast, it's MetroPodcastStudio.com. And website is PLC.com as well. I'm here, get at me. And everything you find, everything you want to know about me, any type of PLC, it'll pop up somewhere.
True story. Well, thank you, sweetie. I really appreciate you stopping through. And, you know, I love it. Not only is Prentice my brother, but now he's officially a key player. And as we say, once a key player, always a key player. So keep us in the loop of the future things that you do. And thank you again.
Thank you.